Hey there, good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this first day of October. It is October 1st, and that is significant only because we have a new month.
Yay.
But it's very nice to have you here. Let me introduce the panel to you real quick. It's Alan Chartok is in the building. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
How are you?
There's the mic over there, sir. Yeah, we'll turn it this way.
Hey.
Yeah. Get him an omnidirectional mic, will you?
I'm
lavalier.
Okay. I'm okay, but here's the thing.
I want you to wear one of those things.
Headset?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It
would be a good look for you.
Because in that way, you're never not without it.
Well, the headset won't help me with making the microphone go.
Yeah,
sure it will.
No, they have like we wear at the remotes.
Yeah.
You know, you have the mic, so then whenever you have it on, you're there.
Why don't we just surgically attach one to your larynx?
It's always good to talk to you, Rand.
Alan, you were going to say.
I was going to
before
say.
Before you were so rudely interrupted.
Right. I'm going to chair this weekend. I'm slated to chair a panel at the New York Press Association down in New York at NYU. But I just read the New York POST, which tells me that gives me scenarios in which the hurricane will hit New York.
Oh, good.
And
that never happens.
I don't mind that. And one of them is Sunday, all day Sunday. The full brunt would be on Sunday night, which. Of course, Monday morning.
Is the fun drive.
Yeah.
Now, there is a. Now, we're going to get to that in just a second. I do have to say there's a great thing going around on social media of showing the track of the storm, and it just shows the East Coast with, like, just all of these lines sort of going over.
Yeah. Exactly.
It could go anywhere.
It could, but the POST in its usual way has shown us where it might go.
Right. I think you're safe.
Well, according to Murphy's Law, and as you know, I'm a Murphyist, if it can, it will.
All right. Okay, so does that mean you're not going to New York?
No,
it
means I won't be here on the fun drive.
Oh, that's incorrect, sir. Phone it in. That's what I do.
All right. Ray Graff is here to phone it in, and we're more than a little happy to have him on the program.
I spent 10 minutes trying to tighten this microphone stand. I feel like a roadie for Foghat this morning. but it's now it's not drooping.
It's working. That's right.
Cialis
it's not drooping.
Is taking hold. It's fine.
All is good. Mm-hmm. Rosemary, you look in pain. Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm enjoying it. I don't have to talk today. I'm going to just listen.
Wrong.
We heard from a fellow yesterday who said, who, by the way, I looked him up. He didn't give anything to the fun drive ever. Said, is this just too much informality on the program?
Agreed.
Let's tighten things up a little bit.
Okay.
Oh,
no, that's true.
That's Joe's fault. You don't tighten it up, Joe.
No, I know.
I wrote back and said, that's why people in record numbers are listening
to
this show.
He was a little more specific. But
Pacific.
Right.
So it needs to be a little more formal.
No. He was specific stuff they wanted. It doesn't matter.
No, I like this.
We love
it's like a focus group here on the air. That's great.
We're just discussing it.
Alan did a great job responding.
It's definitely informal and unfocused right now.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Elena Clift, go ahead.
Wrong! I'm going to focus right in on Felicia Burke, who is going to give us a lockbox update because, as Alan mentioned, Monday starts the fun drive.
The hurricane.
All right, lean in there.
All right, so our total now is $163,609.80.
That's in the locked box.
In the locked box. We had a great day yesterday.
Yeah.
We had over $12,000.
Really, it's coming fast now, and it could happen between now and Monday that we need, 130 to make it?
To make what?
136 or so.
136 to make the 300,000.
Oh, is that the goal?
Well, of course that's the goal. That's what we've been saying right from the very beginning.
Of course, the real goal is the $1 million goal. So if you've got an extra 30,000-40,000 lying around, we're happy to accept your pledge now.
I'm with you. Alan?
But, not helpful.
Okay.
So we've got 4 days left to this fund drive, and we're asking people to pledge early to shorten the fund drive, of course, so we can get back to our regular programming. And we've got a lockbox tote for you to choose. We've got a couple of other premiums up there.
Okay. No one's going to bail you out here. Keep going.
I know. You're just looking
at me. We're not going to interact in any way.
We're not going to help you out.
We're playing it so fast and loose.
I can't be formal. I don't have a microphone.
Okay. Well, thank you, Felicia.
You're quite welcome, Al.
All right. So the way you help out is WAMC.org, WAMC.org.
Fill the lockbox. Feed it.
That's right. Feed it. We have an actual lockbox. There's a physical lockbox out there this morning.
But there's nothing in it, right?
Well, this morning there were donuts on top of it.
Oh, man. I might. Oh, wow.
Pat Cooney came in, walked into the office with them and said, smell these. And I said, you get out.
He does that every morning.
You get out of here.
With or without donuts?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. thank you, Felicia.
Thanks, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Get out while you can.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to focus, and we'll be back with our actual discussion right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel this morning. And they've all been introduced, so we can get right to the business at hand. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Russia begins airstrikes in Syria, and the U.S. warns of new concerns in the conflict. These were the headlines from yesterday. Russian warplanes begin airstrikes in Syria on Wednesday, adding an unpredictable new element to a four-year-old war that has already drawn in the United States and allies, fueled a refugee crisis and expanded the reach of the Islamic State. In Washington, the dramatic escalation of Russia's military involvement was viewed as an affront just 2 days after President Obama and Russian President Vladimir Putin sat down to discuss means for negotiating the deep differences in their countries' approaches to the conflict in Syria.
Yeah, well, I definitely have to eat words because I was hopeful that we were going to see an alliance among three big powers in the Middle East to do something against ISIS. And what Russia plainly has done in its first airstrikes is help support the existing government. It's bombing the heck out of the rebels, some groups of which the Americans support. So what are they after? The speculation is a couple of things. One, no one's talking about Ukraine right now. His incursion into Ukraine, which is, I think, completely illegal and unlawful and menacing, has been forgotten. He's establishing himself as a real strong force who took definitive action, unlike our own president. And he is playing for a bigger role, I think, in the Middle East.
Well, I agree. You know, I have to do a little word eating myself. I mean, I took him at his word that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, and he didn't do it. And I think he's a big fat liar, although he's not that fat, but he's a big liar. And he said, but it now appears it's the same playbook he used in Ukraine, which was, I'm going to get in your face. And if you back down, maybe we'll talk. But if you don't back down, whatever.
Who's he saying it to in this case?
Us. I think he's saying it to
the United States. And what are we going to do about it?
Well, that's exactly right. There are those people, some of them running for president on the Republican ticket, who are saying you got to call out the troops, you got to call out the bodies, you got to do that. To me, there is a point at which you say no to a bully. You have to.
The U.S. officials were particularly irked, according to the Washington Post, that they didn't get much warning of the strikes, even as they make plans to resume military talks with Russia about Syria as early as next week. Discussions have been halted since last year over Russia's support for separatists in Ukraine.
Yeah, what he's done with this, I guess somewhat unexpected, the president and Putin talked in New York earlier this week, but what he's done is establish himself as a player in whatever decisions are made about the Middle East going forward.
I mean, it's not really that unexpected. He's been putting that airfield in for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew about this.
Yeah, but what was he going to use it for is the issue. He said he was going to use it for the ISIS or ISIL or whatever they
want
to call
it. And he's still saying that, which, of course, also fits the pattern of Ukraine. No. I'm not really taking over a sovereign country. I'm just supporting my Russian people who are residents of this one area of Ukraine. So he's doing the same thing.
He's doing the same thing, including a lot of lying.
Yeah.
This is great nostalgia for the old 70s and 60s, and this is Cold War 101 right here.
Yeah, well, I think I missed the Cold War. You're right. This is we're playing with real troops and real enemies. Civilians are dying in Syria. This, I can't think of a worse scenario for the Syrian people.
But it's so important to remember that he is playing to his national and nationalist base, many of whom felt that when the wall came down, when communism was over, they had lost face as a nation. And he is saying, I'll find that face for you, and I'll do that.
I think it's even it's more than just the nationalist base, though. He is rebuilding the power of the Soviet
Union. Yes, he is.
While he has now thoroughly put us in a quagmire in the Middle East, he has moved into Ukraine. The Russians are moving into the Arctic. They've taken over or declared the right to most of that land, which is incredibly valuable once the ice melts. We have turned away from President Obama's main concern, which was China and the Far East, and we are stuck in the Middle East again, where we've been since the 1940s.
Doesn't this speak to perhaps a failure of foreign policy in this
administration? Absolutely. We have never had the big picture. And I don't belittle how difficult the problem is in Syria and in Yemen and in name any other country in the Middle East that's causing us problems. But we have no vision of where we want to go. The president tried. Obama wanted to just kind of hold it down on the Middle East, ignored Putin, which was a big mistake, and pay attention to China and the Far East. And he has not been able to do that.
We heard from Michael, who said, I'm with the Russians on this one. Look what happened last time we removed a savage dictator from the Middle East. The tribes of the Middle East outside Israel don't know how to live together in peace and need a strong man to keep them civil. That's from Michael.
Oh, dear.
And Robert said something a little off topic. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we look at the this, I just as I was reading this article and listening to the NPR coverage this morning, wondering, okay, so how is this going to play out? And it because we're dealing with a very scattershot process here. Well, it just doesn't seem like they're. Well, we don't obviously know what Russia's plan. We don't know what we're doing. So it seems as though we're. As the U.S., we're playing catch-up, and as far as the Russians, we don't know what they're going to do.
Right. Well, we can do what we've done for 6 years, which is not much.
Yeah, I think this is going to go on for a really long time. There's no easy, dramatic solution by anybody in Syria. I mean, my goal would be to keep Damascus safe. I mean, it's a hugely important, not just for the people there, but for the archaeological treasures. And ISIS is moving in. I don't know. Sorry. Frustration here.
What do you know, Alan?
I know what I know, and I'm keeping it to myself.
All right. Well, that's very helpful on a radio show.
Very rare. I it's amazing.
Or I know what I don't know.
Can I ask a technical question? But since
you may not get an answer, but sure.
Because we went through ISIS, ISIL, IS. So now
Islamic State.
Yes. So now it's being referred to. I noticed the president. I'm just wondering if there's any meaning to this. The president at the UN made the deliberate switch to ISIL.
He's been saying ISIL all along.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he has. When all of the press was saying ISIS, he was saying ISIL. You can look it up.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I love what some of the newspapers are doing now. They're saying, giving them all. They say ISIS or ISIL
or
Islamic State. And then, you know, you pick them and you choose them.
Oh, well, in practical terms, it is moving towards an Islamic State. It's fomented trouble and moved into areas throughout the Middle East and even some say into Africa. So
we're going to take a break and we'll be back with other topics. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, I'm Joe Donahue. Make up the panel, and we want you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Appointment.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you back. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We had a rehearsal just a moment ago, and it was very very good. So
much better than the show thus far.
Yeah, well, so we practiced, so we're ready for this one. So Pope Francis met with Kim Davis, the Kentucky Townie, County. There we go.
And a townie, no doubt.
Kentucky County Clerk in Washington, D.C. Pope Francis met privately with Kim Davis, who defied a court order to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, adding a new element to an American tour that saw Francis attract huge crowds and articulate left-leaning positions on poverty, immigration, and environment and inequality. Vatican officials initially would not confirm that the meeting occurred, finally doing so on Wednesday afternoon while refusing to discuss any details. I know, Rosemary, you mentioned the story yesterday and said you're hoping to get to the bottom of it because we didn't know if it was true or not.
Right.
Because the lawyer was saying that it had happened, but the Vatican wasn't saying anything. So now the Vatican has admitted that the meeting took place. And what do you make of it now?
Well, we talked about this also on the Media Project. I mean, this was a deliberate effort to stay away from the press. The meeting was set up in secret.
Do we know who set up the meeting?
Yes, the Vatican did. The Vatican arranged it. Kim and her husband, her latest husband, if I were to be catty, were secretly snuck into the embassy where she hugged the Pope and was called brave. And then they were hustled out, and the agreement was made that nothing would be said until after he left the country.
And no pictures, no selfies, nothing
right,
like that.
Nothing that might leak. And this was supposedly so that the coverage of his visit here would not be dominated by this issue. The Pope, of course, is no fan of gay marriage, does not believe in it, although he says you can forgive and be nice to gay people.
How does
which
he
is
feel
a big,
about
big improvement, but
divorce and multiple marriages?
Same thing. It's against church policy,
is
but
she
you
Catholic?
Know, these are friends.
No, she's a
Seventh Day. Isn't she a Seventh-day Adventist?
Yeah.
She just recently had a conversion,
okay,
which is why she's so dead set against gay marriage.
All right. Mm. So this is kind of a non-story.
No, I don't think it's a non-story.
No, I don't think it's far from a non-story.
The Pope talks to who he wants to talk to. And he did it in a way that was not, there was no press involved.
There are a lot of people that could have been talked to, that could have talked to the Pope that.
But he talks to who he wants to.
So does Barack Obama. We still cover that. The guy's a world leader with huge influence on people.
No, this is a non-story.
Raymond, please. It is not a non-story. I thought, I was deeply disappointed in this aspect. I really was, because I'm a big admirer of the Pope. I think he did a terrific job while he was here. I thought
it tainted the entire visit.
That's what I thought.
He actually did speak outright about conscientious objection, and he did support her. That was news when he did it. So why did he have to hide that he actually met with her?
Yeah, this is a transparency issue, and I, you know, and Ray, you know how I, you know what I think about you.
Whatever.
Or whenever he says that, watch out.
You know what I think about you, Ray. But in the end, they were afraid. They were afraid for some reason. And that, for a guy who was so transparent, who just tried to convince so many people of his love and everything else, I think you can't just say he's entitled to do whatever he wants. We don't play it that way.
She said in her interview, "I'm just a nobody, so it was really humbling to think that he would want to meet or know me." I agree. She is a nobody. So why is he meeting with
her? But he is the Pope. He speaks for Catholics. He is speaking what he thinks is the proper way, right or wrong. He is speaking for what he thinks. He really isn't beholden to what people in the liberal press or anybody else has to say about it. He speaks for the Catholics.
So naive. He hugs this woman who has violated the rule of the Supreme Court, and that elevates her. She's no longer a nobody because the Pope hugged her. And that's why
it legitimizes her.
Right.
Ridiculous. He wanted to keep it quiet. So how would that legitimize her if it was
quiet? He wanted to keep it quiet until he could release it on his terms.
The Pope does what the Pope does. What Joe and Alan and Rosemary says doesn't really matter to the Pope.
Well,
God says.
You just said something. Well,
that's what Kim says, too. God told me not to marry these people.
Well, I simply don't understand. You say he speaks for Catholics. I don't know that he speaks for all Catholics. He doesn't speak for Joe.
He's supposed to be infallible
for
only
Catholicism.
In
You're absolutely
religious
right.
issues. He sees this as a religious issue. I get it. But we have separation of church and state, which is why in this country we ought to be looking at this. What the Pope says has no bearing on our rule of law.
Is everybody so jolly when he carries liberal causes to Washington?
Well, not only
let's not have
causes.
A double standard.
Not only liberal causes.
Let's not care what the Pope says then.
Carried a lot
so
of
climate
things.
Change is a liberal cause?
Oh, no, what I'm saying is when he goes and talks about any of these issues, why should anybody care more about one thing than the other? Just don't care about it. If you're Catholic, care about it. Otherwise, don't put him on a liberal pedestal.
I don't think we have put him on a liberal pedestal. I agree with Rosemary that he's a world leader. I mean, yes, he is. He is the the overseer of the Catholic Church, but he's also a world leader.
A head of state. I mean, we don't treat any other religious leader who comes into this country in the same way. So, yes, he does have a special status. And as for not caring, I mean, or on a liberal poet, did we really do that? He has not done anything to change the policies of the Catholic Church. We have simply said, wow, he's talking about forgiveness and being human. That's great. It's conservatives who have made him an anti-conservative
model. I just think there's far too much attention paid to what a religious leader thinks on this program and every other program and in every
He doesn't
paper.
Get as much press as Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he'll run for office.
He's not an American citizen. He might have some trouble.
He has his own pretty cool office.
George checked in and said, the rumor on the Catholic street is that the Pope criticized her behavior at the meeting. I haven't heard a word of that rumor. I've heard only that
The Vatican says it has no comment, and the lawyer says she was treated like a heroine. So where's that information coming from?
From a rumor.
On the Catholic street.
Whatever that is.
It's right down Methodist Lane. Take a left.
And Ted says, did the Pope validate her divorces when he hugged her?
Well, that, yeah. I just...
See, she shouldn't care. She's a Seventh-day Adventist. He's a Catholic, so she shouldn't
care
about
that. That doesn't have anything to do with it. I really don't think that has anything to do with it. I think that the Pope comes into this country and he's meeting heads of state, but he's meeting with the president, he's meeting with the Congress, he's meeting with the Senate. And then this meeting comes in the dark of night, and it's just weird.
Well, he's kept quiet though, right?
Well, yeah, because
he had something to say to her. He didn't want it to make a big deal out of it.
Well, Mike answers you. Mike says Ray is wrong.
Yeah, I figured I'd get that.
Who? WHO capital. The Pope speaks volumes. It carries a message, intended or not.
Well, I mean, also, he didn't really keep it quiet. He said to keep it quiet until after he leaves. So, but then it the lawyer for Kim Davis was on every talk show on Monday morning talking about how this occurred. She's now doing the talk show circuit. So it's
she's
out.
She's
going to
end up
big...
in Congress. Oh, my goodness.
No, she's going to write a book if she can perhaps string a sentence together.
Would it be the same if Kim Davis had met Queen Elizabeth?
That would be cool.
Anybody who meets any American who meets Queen Elizabeth, that's a story. If Queen Elizabeth said, you're doing good, wish you had been around in the 1700s, yeah, that'd be a story.
Off with her head.
Here's somebody I really disagree with. I do. I disagree with somebody who I know quite well. By meeting with Kim Davis, he spent time that he could, in capital letters, spent with sick people and or terminally ill, could have used his blessings far more than her by selecting her rather than the sick. What does that say? Now, in all honesty, this guy really got out there. He met with prisoners. He met with poor people. He did all of that stuff.
Met with sex abuse.
So I'm not buying
victims.
That one.
He met with nuns. Yeah. I can't fault him for that.
No.
He probably would have used the time for a little extra nap. He's an old guy, and he was run ragged while he was here.
Oh, my God.
So that was his own time.
And we've heard from Jim, who says, I'll only read the first paragraph. James Fellows wrote an article in The Atlantic that the U.S. hasn't won a war since World War II, except for the first Gulf War. Nothing has changed. Vietnam was a disaster, Iraq a disaster, Afghanistan is a disaster, and Syria a disaster. And let me just add to that, so was the first Gulf War, which we supposedly won.
Yep.
It was a disaster.
Yep.
We have a lot of Kim Davis letters, if you want to read those.
Oh, anything you say. You're the boss. Okay. Dear Roundtable, it's too bad that we and the media elevated Kim Davis. She is a nobody with her own ideas. She just needed to be fired from a job, which she refused to do, and fall back into oblivion. I don't care about Kim Davis.
Can't fire an elected official. That's the whole problem.
And this whole somebody wrote a letter about a conscientious objector. And is she, in fact, a conscientious objector?
No, conscientious objectors took the punishment. They took the consequences of their decision.
So she
moved out of the country or went to jail. She needs to quit her job, and then her conscience is taken care of.
I think that would make her, if she quit her job, that would make her a conscientious
objector. And here's one for Ray. Yay, Ray. Thanks for talking out of the Albany liberal bubble. Read the Pope. George from Kingston. You have a fan there.
You know, I'm just trying to mix it up here on the program. Okay. My rare appearance.
And Matthew says, who gets more press, the Pope or the Dalai Lama? They're both religious heads of state, right?
Dalai Lama gets a lot of publicity, too. Come
sure.
on. Full cover.
Is he a head of state?
No.
No.
No, he doesn't even have a state. The
right,
Chinese
and that's part of
out.
The issue, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, one to a customer, folks. One to a customer. Okay. And Eric says, perhaps the Pope didn't want protesters during his stay. Public knowing of the meeting would polarize.
I think that's
sure
what
that's
the people
true.
On this panel
absolutely.
Are saying.
We all agree
yeah.
on that, but that's not courageous. And then Ray is right again. That the Pope's visit with a clerk is a non-issue. Who cares? And isn't he free to see who he wants to see? As for Rosemary's assertion that in the U.S. we have separation of church and state, I agree completely, which is why the Pope never should have been addressing Congress. But the liberal press, which revels in attacking religion, didn't bring this up when he was addressing Congress.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, some did. Could it be because they know he espoused liberal causes, so they were willing to look past their religious objection, like when the entire Republican side stood up and applauded his views on abortion? Give me a break. Okay. And Trudy says, hi, panel. Kim Davis is not a Seventh-day Adventist. She's
apostolic.
That's the one.
Apostolic.
What? Yeah.
Survey said apostolic.
Yeah. Okay. And Julia says, in the spirit of forgiveness that Pope Francis brought in my mind, it would have made a significant difference if he had met with the parishioners of Emmanuel AME Church who has forgiven their attacker rather than Kim Davis.
I like that.
That's a good letter.
That was a good one. And Cody says, Kim Davis is simply seeking attention and fame, which is clearly shown by her lawyer's public proclamation of her meeting with the Pope. I'm sure she'll be leaving off early, just like Palin, and be a commentator on Fox News in no time flat. And
don't laugh. I mean, I think that's right. Good. That's going to happen, right?
Do you think they'll redo her hair when she goes on Fox
News? Oh, now who's being catty?
That's true.
Jorley Nell says, I have to agree with Ray, but what feels wrong about it to me is the way it was manipulated.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes, okay. 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 And
what's at the Copac Diner today?
And here's from W. Guy, who says, Mr. Graff, you are totally wrong.
Okay, fair
That's
enough.
From Guy.
I take that guy, or is it Gee?
I like it. Okay. You did that. Melanie says, don't forget Russia.
We got time. Go ahead, baby.
Don't forget Russia wasn't successful in Afghanistan. Do we really need to get embroiled in Syria? Weren't lessons learned from Iraq and Afghanistan? That's from M. And
I think Afghanistan's an entirely different situation, right?
Well, it's also in free fall at the moment, too. The Taliban is riding roughshod in the north, and troops are after them. And for what? The Taliban will never have control of the whole country. It's segmenting.
E.J. Dionne says, Barbara, from the Washington Post reports that it was it was the Washington, D.C. Vatican offices that set up the meeting through a very conservative D.C. Bishop, not the Vatican. What? The D.C. Vatican offices are not taking
Vatican?
Orders from the Vatican?
Yeah, that's a
give
good
me,
point.
Give me a little. That is not a good point.
No, it isn't. Well, it's a good point that the Pope would have final say, right?
Yeah. Oh, you mean my point?
I think your point for a change
is actually okay. Well, thank you for
right
that, Ray. It's a rare.
Very rare. Rarer than a blood moon.
Rarer than a blood moon. Okay, love says John, dear America and Russia, the world is not your little toy to squabble over. If you actually cared about it, you would leave it alone. It seems to many that you have enough. And that's from John. All right. And Mark says, have you read yesterday's op-ed by Thomas Friedman? He endorses Obama's policy of ambivalence on Syria and says about Putin's involvement in support of Assad, a pro-Iranian Alawite Shiite genocidal war criminal, in quotes. How long before every Sunni Muslim in the Middle East, not to mention every jihadist, has Putin's picture in a bullseye on his cell phone? What do you think of this take of the situation?
Anybody?
I have to, I haven't read the article. I will, though. Friedman was totally wrong about Afghanistan, so I take it with a grain of salt, but I am going to read it now.
Michael says, "Oh, Pope Frank, we had such high hopes. Meet the new boss, secretly the same as the old boss." And I call him Pope Francis. I have great admiration for him. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, Clay, what?
You said hello.
I did. You know why I said hello?
No.
Because every time I'm on the phone and say something that's sensitive, right?
Yeah.
That I would hate to, and if anybody would happen to be listening in on the conversation,
yeah.
I always say, hello.
Okay. You got to assume the NSA has a pretty fat file on you right now.
Well, who are you to talk about fat?
Oh, that was a very short remark.
Are you two paired up during the fun drive again?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Get me my Thorazine.
Clay says, if the Middle East conflagrations are a quagmire for us, try to imagine what it will be for the Russians, perhaps something we could only wish for our worst enemies. Thank you. That's been...
Oh, no. Putin totally wants a distraction. This is...
You think this is all about distraction? I think it's about a foothold back, like the old days, like the 70s.
All of it. All of it. He distracts from Ukraine. He gets a foothold in the Middle East. He's a player on a world stage again. What was it, 2 years? The president froze him out and didn't talk to him. The president's talking to him again. Oh, yeah. I think he's accomplishing. Distract people from bad economy at home. He's getting many, many good things out of this.
So EJ wrote us a letter. I'm not going to read it because it's so dumb. Okay. Okay, Ray's last comment, says Daisy, was the most accurate. Read the Pope. You can't like him when he agrees with you and not like him when he doesn't. I've never trusted him because of who and what he represents, period.
Bam.
Spam?
Bam, I said.
Oh, bam.
Right on.
I thought you said it was spam.
You have to have a moral compass, and if you agree, you agree. If you don't, you don't.
No, what? Who told you?
I'm
sending happy birthday messages on Facebook. I think it's time we move on to another topic.
But who told you that we can't agree with some things he says and not disagree with others?
That was effective.
Yes.
Happy birthday today.
Good
too.
Play, Rosemary. Good play. Well, we have to take a break.
Oh, hello?
So that'll do it.
Hello?
Do it. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Well, it's going lovely so far, isn't it?
Don't forget the lockbox.
Hello.
WAMC.org for that lockbox. So let's go on to another topic. Why? Because Rosemary suggested it.
Yes.
How about Kevin McCarthy? Oh, my. So Kevin McCarthy is now an heir apparent, right, to John Boehner. And there is a kerfuffle over a comment that he made regarding Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. And the question is, does that matter?
I think we're going to love Kevin McCarthy. He has a problem with English. He's full of malapropisms, and he also speaks out on stuff he shouldn't. I think this was an example of it. He's going to be very fun as speaker. And so what he did was reveal that Hillary Clinton's ratings have declined as the latest, I think it's the 8th, Benghazi investigative panel has leaked information about her emails. So what he has done, of course, is kind of lift the curtain on something that was supposed to be covert, that the continual bad leaks against Hillary may be originating with this supposedly bipartisan and fair congressional committee investigating what happened in Benghazi.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that it's being taken seriously by Republicans.
Yep.
Which is fascinating to me. I happened to be changing the channels this morning while on the great bike and came across Morning Joe, their Morning Joe, not as good as ours. And one of the few times his co-anchor,
Mika Brzezinski,
jumped down his throat was on this issue.
Yeah.
Basically, I think I heard her say not
it's
one
smear.
Word.
It's
about,
a smear campaign being directed by congressional Republicans if McCarthy is speaking true.
If it is a smear campaign, which looks like it might well be, do you think that there are elements in the Democratic Party who would rather see Biden run and say Hillary's got all these problems, we really, and maybe even at the top, they like Joe better and they want to submarine her chances. Is that a conspiracy theory worth pursuing?
No, absolutely not.
The Democrats want to win, and whether you like her or not, she's the best bet. She's their best bet. It would be almost a Republican act of self-destruction to do something like that. But I think the big political news of today is the report on Bernie Sanders' finances.
Yes.
Huge.
And we only have a few minutes, but here's the $24 million.
That's a lot of money.
$24 million.
It's in the Hillary range.
And exceeding Obama's pace in 2008.
That's what the online contribution.
Ben Carson doing the same thing, by the way.
Just pulling it in, raking it in?
Ugh. Sanders' advisors, in announcing the fundraising tally on Wednesday night, also said that the senator had more than $25 million in cash on hand. He raised more than $24 million for his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination in the last 3 months, a significant sum that was fueled by a torrid pace of online donations, more than a million so far. Mrs. Clinton has been raising money far more aggressively than Mr. Sanders, holding 10 times as many events with donors, many of whom contribute the $2,700 maximum to her primary campaign account.
Mm-hmm. When's the first debate?
October 13th? It's that week. I wanted to actually say the 15th.
So we'll see. We'll see a Sanders bump, and maybe he'll start getting more. I mean, you watch the TV news channels. He doesn't get much time. He doesn't. I watched it today.
It's true.
You could do a quantitative analysis. Maybe one of your students, Rosemary, could do that. Mm-hmm. Quantitative analysis of the amount of face time he gets compared to Hillary.
Yeah, but what it shows me is that there's a lot of discontent in this country that is outside the usual parameters. The fact that he's outdone Obama in this area is huge. It also points out the insidious role of great amounts of money that are given by the Koch brothers and others, right here in the gubernatorial election, we have the same thing. People are sort of voting with $100, and to those people, that $100 or that $50 is much more than the millions that are coming from the guys who are trying to buy into the government and buy the government, frankly.
The first debate is October 13th, you're right, October 13th at the Wynn Las Vegas Hotel and Casino.
Well, all right.
In downtown Las Vegas.
Mama needs a new pair of shoes.
So you take that $24 million.
Right, and you put it on black on the roulette.
Red 24, bam. Spin that wheel.
Only pays 2-1, but I mean, that's $48 million, you're moving on.
I don't know. Joel says, along the lines of your conspiracy question, is here's another conspiracy for Ray. Are Republicans contributing to Bernie to push him forward instead of Hillary?
I like that conspiratorial thinking. Well done, Joel.
All right. We are out of time, but thank you very much. Yes.
Yay.
I know. Doesn't seem like long enough, does it, Ray?
Oh, yes, it does.
We'll be back after this.